This is Rod's One Answer. I'm broadcasting from the Disaster Response Conference held at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. This is the second day of 4 days, and we have heard presentations from individuals around the world that have shared magnificent testimony to even during and after disaster of all kinds. God is always trying to bless us. We know that. If we'll just see it through His time. I think one of you too, and let me introduce who we have, and then maybe you can tell us the community you live in. We have Pastor Bong. Welcome to Worldwide KFUO. Tell us the city, the church that you're a pastor at.
Yeah, I'm a pastor in not actually a city, you know, in a village located in Mahayag, Albuera, Leyte. It's a rural area, and I serve 2 congregations and 1 outstation. We have around almost 100 families.
100. Now you said Leyte Island, right?
Yes.
And that's the island that was really hit by Typhoon Yolanda, which is also called
Typhoon Haiyan.
Yeah. Which one do you prefer to say?
Yolanda.
Yolanda. Okay. We rescued a cat named Yolanda. She's the best cat we've ever had.
Oh, okay.
And then we have the president of the Lutheran Church of the Philippines. Pastor James, who we are old friends. I got to interview in Atlanta, and our interview is still up there. So, James, welcome to Worldwide KFUO. And tell us, Leyte Island, in relationship of all the island, stream that makes up the Philippines, where is it in all of that?
Well, the Philippines composed of 3 big islands, Luzon, the northernmost part, and the middle is Visayas, where Leyte is located, and the southern part is Mindanao.
Okay. So really in the kind of the middle is where,
yes,
Leyte Island would,
yes,
be. Now, where do you reside?
I reside in Luzon, north, in Manila.
In Manila, where most of us would recognize Manila as a big place.
Right.
Okay. How far to travel from Manila to Leyte Island?
You have to fly.
You have to fly.
Well, if you fly, it will be an hour and 15 minutes.
Okay.
But if you take the boat, it will take about 16 to 18 hours.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we have Pastor Nick. And you reside on Leyte Island as well. Is that right?
Yes.
And what would be the place, the region, or the city that you are at with your congregation?
Well, the Tacloban City Congregation, we call it the Christ Lutheran Church, belongs to the Region 8, and we call it the Eastern Visayas. And we have, a number of members in our church of about 60-plus families that we have at present. And they are active in our church and join with us in our worship service during Sunday. And that's it.
And where you were, Nick, there in Tacloban, am I saying that fairly okay?
Yeah.
Okay. That was hit the worst in this terrible disaster that struck. Let's start with Pastor Bong, because you said something today that I really liked. And I like to think of God as a wonderful giver, always wanting to give good things. Tell us what your thoughts were about God as a giver in all of this disaster.
Yeah, our God indeed is the giver and the creator of all things. So in Him, everything originates. So after Typhoon Yolanda destroyed all our properties, houses, and how it destroys our lives too, and we see afterwards that God is present and He continues to give gifts to us, not only physical things, physical needs, but also the spiritual needs. And most of all, he gave his one and only son to us, and that gives us hope.
Yeah, I think the question put to you today, because for the listener, it was kind of a panel, and Pastor Ross Johnson of LCMS Disaster Response was asking some questions, and I think he asked you, Nick, you know, what was the first thing that crossed your mind when you when the typhoon, the tidal waves, and all that kind of stopped? And that's what you said: we lost everything. But you learned after the days, the months after, that Christ is even working more bold than he ever was before. And Nick, you were asked a question about that, and it was amazing what I had heard. The kind of what's happened after you know, all this time after the typhoon, what has God done with your church, your congregation there? Because I think Pastor Johnson was just over for another visit, and he was startled with what the Lord has kind of done there.
After the Yolanda or Typhoon Haiyan event, we see it in some other way. That aside, that God has allowed these bad things to happen, but in beyond of this, we can still say that God is working out good things to people to remind them that in the midst of calamity that they experience, God is still working and God is active. Even so, he continued to shower all his blessings that despite of the things that happened, the loss that they experienced and losses of, say, properties, house, even so, lives of the members of their family, God continued to bless them and return them back the blessing despite of so previous experience they had. But then after the Yolanda event, these people were given back their houses and they had a new built house right now. And the church, whereas before the Yolanda we only had 30 families worshiping with us. After the Yolanda, when the church witnessed to them and people outside the church saw the love, care, and witness that we shared to them, which to them it is a different type of relationship that we had given them. And so they become members because they joined with us in our regular worship service on Sundays. And from 30 families, we are more than 60 families who are now worshiping with us regularly on Sundays. And that's the miraculous things that happened after the Yolanda event, that I see to it that really God works mysteriously. But even the storm.
So many new families coming to worship that you've ran out of space.
Yeah,
here.
That's true.
So you're building, and you were sharing that you really kind of torn from wanting to be back there and watch the new construction and coming to the conference.
Yeah.
So maybe the Lord, he's a good carpenter. Maybe he can take care of that till you return.
Yeah, that's it. And I was somehow excited to go back and see what has been going on in our reconstruction of our new church building.
Amen. Send us pictures.
We can.
You know, I have to tell the three of you that, you know, Americans, as you probably see, we have it too easy. We're kind of soft. We get too much and we whine and moan about things that the rest of the world would envy. And when we hear like of the disaster in the Philippines, we were devastated for you. I mean, we saw the pictures and we just couldn't believe it. Even on our coastal areas, you never see that kind of thing. I guess the closest would be the tsunami in Japan. Mm-hmm. But I know that both Pastor Johnson and Pastor Meyer, we all go to the same congregation. And so they were quickly going, and Pam Nielsen and Glenn Merritt, all good friends, and Al Dobnia. And we just couldn't wait to get information. I know we tried to call them on satellite phones, and for a few days we couldn't even get a hold of them. But I just want to express to you that I know all my brothers and sisters in Christ that I know, we were all pleading to God for you, and we still do. And so you've touched us. I'd say the love of Christ and his love has touched all of us through what you've endured, and maybe even come out a little bit stronger in some ways. Mm-hmm. And so, President James, from the Lutheran Church of Philippines, and you talked about this a little bit in your presentation today, what have you what has God gifted you through this experience of leading this great church in the Philippines?
First is because of that disaster, well, we have known, because partner churches have expressed in many ways their concern and love for the church. But very concretely, the expression of solidarity and the overwhelming support coming from partner churches, members of the ILC, and other recognized organizations also of the LCMS, we were so impacted, I mean, the church. And because of that love given to us that we are able to share into the community was also impacted, and we could also LCMS or partner churches were able to love because they first experienced the love of God. They shared that to us, and we do the same. Now we are able to love others because we first loved by our Lord. I always raise this question to pastors and to congregations prior to the typhoon. When I go and visit them as president of the church, I always ask, if your congregation ceases to exist, who will notice it? I would say many churches in the Lutheran Church in the Philippines did acts of mercy, but it did not impact so much the people in the community. But after this, we have seen the love and mercy and compassion of brothers and sisters throughout the world that encouraged us to move even faster and eager also to show that compassion and mercy we have received from our Lord and we have received and shared from other partner churches.
That's wonderful. And then you talked about the gifts from the Lord of improved communication, improved planning,
yes,
and one more that I can't remember.
Value of cooperation.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the value of communication. And, of course, I also mentioned the value of the aftercare retreat for victims and responders. We found that overwhelmingly very helpful to our people.
Oh, because so that really was.
That helped us a lot.
Excellent. So I'd like to close this interview with asking each of you this question. You're speaking to Christians around the world in this interview. What would you share with them about what you've learned from Typhoon Yolanda that could help them in their time of need? We'll start with you, Pastor Nick. Oh, Bong, I'm sorry. See, I got you mixed up. See the gray hair, you forget things. Forgive me.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing I've learned after Yolanda hit us, though the devastation was so great, but our great God is greater than this calamity. And His love endures forever, and He always thinks of us. So with that note, I can assure each one of us who suffered now in any form that God will always take care of us. If He died for us, these little things that we need, these hurts that we experience, God will surely comfort us and love us until He comes and bring us to heaven where we can be with Him forever.
I can't wait. Well said. You know, that strikes me, Pastor Bong, as the theme that I've heard in every presentation, especially Pastor Whedon's, about all the famous hymns that sing of this, right? Mm-hmm. In time of stress and loss, Jesus is there. All we need with His comfort. So God bless you, my friend.
Thank you.
Yeah. Pastor James.
Yeah, I'm reminded of Psalm 46. No matter what happened in the world where we live, be still and know that I am God, He said, that He is in control and that He takes care of us. He is the best refuge whom we can run to and rely on to. And finally, I would say, I saw the fulfillment of the Lord's word in Romans 8:28, mm-hmm. that everything works for the good of those who love God, for those who have been called according to His purpose. We see destruction all over the area. But in the midst of this, we do not see what God is trying to tell us, what God is trying to show us. But we have seen the mercy, the love, and compassion of God expressed by Christians throughout the world, the willingness of these brethren to show and extend that helping hand. Indeed, finally, after that, the Filipino people, especially in those areas, became even stronger, not only as physically and in the community, but I believe it was also a purpose on God that came into fruition, that now we have churches that are overflowing with people. That's the best thing.
Amen. And you know, someone else, a Lutheran, loved Psalm 46. You know who that would be?
Okay.
Yeah, Martin Luther.
Martin Luther.
He wrote Mighty Fortress based on that, so you're in good company. Okay, finally, Pastor Nick, your words to the world about where to turn in time of need.
Yeah, in times of need, we can let go to other places or other people or to depend upon things, but rather to depend upon God, because we may experience the strongest typhoon in our lives, but God is more stronger than it. And that whatever storm that may come across our way, we can always overcome it, because God is stronger than whatever storms in this life. And I remember that all our hopes are always will not come to end, because our hope depends upon God. That's why this hymn is really, really, really remind me. My hope is built on nothing less. The second and third verse, when it says, "When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood sustain me in the raging flood. When all supports are washed away, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." That's why our hope is always there, despite of whatever situation that we are in, whatever problems that we have. As long as we have hope in Christ, it can never be built upon nothing less, but rather built upon Christ.
Oh, so right on, brother. You know, maybe I'll finish this by saying that I've been very impressed that each of you speakers was given a gift of artwork. Two of you got artwork that is Jesus calming the raging sea, and I was very touched by that. And so I'm going to try to get one for my wife and myself. I really like that one. And then, of course, President James gets one, Feed the Flock, right? So I got to tell you that I'm so thankful to our great God, because I don't think you could come here if you're a Christian and not be touched by the power of our awesome God. And His faithfulness endures forever. And, you know, when everything else is gone, He's still there. You guys have said that loud and clear. And I thank you for that, because that encourages all the world. One of us rejoices in the body of Christ. We all rejoice. One suffers. And so we went through the suffering with you with Typhoon Yolanda, and now we're rejoicing in what God is doing in your beautiful country and church. So God's blessings.
Thank